Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Welcome back here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Our very good friend now, this is his third appearance, so he is a friend. Jeremy Kent is with us here momentarily, our London-based consultant. We'll find out what's going on in Europe as well as here in the United States as we give you another great show. Rose Cameron is with us. Rose is the Chief Strategy Officer at EuroRSCG in Chicago, and we've got three segments to spend with her, and we'll tell you a little bit more about Rose as well. She has the most delightful accent.
Yeah.
Yes. It just makes you want to smile.
You could have her just read the yellow pages during the interview.
Frankly, I think it's a grand idea, and I think we should go for that. And we've got Gene Bliss as well as part of the Advertising Show. Gene is going to talk about Zane's Cycles, under a buck and it's free. I like that. These people really have a great attitude toward customer satisfaction and customer retention. So a lot of great reasons to stick around and stay here with the Advertising Show. I mean, it's always good, right? But this is great. Next level stuff. So the Toyota fiasco, Brad, What's your take on that and what they've been doing to try and get out of the mess and maybe make it a little bit better for Toyota?
My take is when they first had the problems and they hadn't resolved them and they were in the middle of all that, I personally think it was a mistake to have those TV spots on talking about, you know, we care, we're taking ever. I mean, come on. For all those cynics out there, you're playing right into it. And I think consumers today are much more intelligent. Now, I'm all for, you know, repairing the brand, and there's a place for that. And they're doing newspaper advertising, radio, in addition to the television. And, you know, I think they're just a little early maybe on that. And that could have been handled through media channels, appearances, as opposed to paid advertising channels. But that's my opinion. And obviously, somebody higher up doesn't agree.
No, and but other people do, chime in and say it would have been nice. Tell us what to do. I've got a Toyota in my driveway.
Yeah,
do I drive it?
Yeah,
do I tow it? Do I do what? There was nothing. There was nothing said as to how can I fix this problem.
I was waiting for someone from Toyota to come on and say Tiger Woods is our spokesperson and we just can't find him right now, but he's going to be speaking on our behalf. Meanwhile, we both have the same publicist and PR firm, and they're advising us both, just we're not going to talk.
Listen, it's a great brand, and I understand there are some things wrong, but it certainly would be good for them to get past this and continue. They do employ people here in the United States, we don't want them to go away or fail. But it's just an odd
repair of
how they did that. What do you have there?
Well, you know, after 3 years of dodging questions, no, I'm not talking about Tiger Woods. I'm talking about Microsoft. After 3 years of dodging questions over why it was so far behind Apple's iPhone, Microsoft is staging a comeback in the mobile business with a strikingly redesigned mobile operating system. The new Windows Phone 7 series is for a phone built for people in motion, as opposed to all those people that are standing still these days.
Isn't that what mobile is all about?
That's an odd positioning statement, but for those people that are in motion, this phone is built for you. Windows Phone 7 series. I hope it's not an RSCG client, since we have Rose on the show today.
No, exactly. We don't want that to happen either. No. But as long as you're not in motion in a school zone,
have a stupid phone instead of a smartphone.
A stupid phone is where you want that.
If you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, one with a cord on it. Remember those?
Yeah.
Actually, I have one in my kitchen.
And does it dial, too? It's got the rotary
dial? No, it doesn't
dial,
but the handset stays where it's supposed to, and that's the thought process behind that.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Hey, speaking of that, real quickly, you ever pull up to a car and you give the motion, roll down your window? Now you're going to have to do the finger. Push the button.
Push the button
down. It doesn't work anymore.
Unless I know the person, I would not do that, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I live in Houston.
It's
not a good thing to do.
I know what you mean.
Okay. Hey, Jeremy Kent is with us. He's our brand-new London-based correspondent, and always delightful. He's got good stuff to tell you about what's going on over there. Not over here, over there. Let's listen.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Kent. Welcome to the European News Desk. This week, we want the news, but we won't pay for it. How you could win $300,000 creating an ad for Doritos, and as the UK election campaign hots up, how the political parties are fighting it out online. Rupert Murdoch and other media owners are planning to erect paywalls around their news sites as online advertising fails to deliver the necessary dollars. At the same time, UK teenagers say they'll never pay for news and that they'd rather get it from friends on Twitter and Facebook. But surely that's got to raise questions about editorial integrity. Someone has to pay for journalists' salaries, travel and satellite links, but when their output has been given away for years, it is difficult to charge a premium for it now. Those sites that have stayed free are attracting more visitors, and the bigger audience means more ad revenue. So, content that sits behind paywalls will have to be very special to command a premium price, and as visitor numbers decline, the value of the ad space around it will also diminish. No doubt we will see some savage media rationalisation over the next few years, but at the same time we risk seeing a younger generation growing up ill-informed about the world around them. As economic power shifts to the east, this could be a disaster at a personal and national level. Now, corn chip brand Doritos is inviting anyone with a video camera to create their next TV commercial. Called King of Ads, the crowdsourcing campaign encourages people to create a 29-second TV spot and upload it online. The makers of the top 15 ads will pitch their ideas to an expert panel, and the final three will be put to a public vote to decide which director is King of the Ads. The winner will receive £100,000 and another £1 for every vote their commercial attracts, up to a maximum of another £100,000. That's around $300,000 in total. The winning spot will be aired on British National TV from 12 June to 11 July this summer. In 1997, the UK Labour Party was swept into power on the back of a very efficient PR machine. 13 years on and the battle is being fought online. While official spokespeople stick to party messages, grassroots supporters are fighting it out in cyberspace. When Conservative leader David Cameron unveiled new billboard ads, Labour supporters were quick to grab the creative and show off spoofs. Aimed at converting lifelong Labour voters to the Tory cause, the strapline, "I've never voted Tory before, but," rapidly became the biggest caption competition ever, and the associated hashtag became the fourth most popular topic on Twitter. Until the parties learn how to produce creative work that is safe from ferocious online satire, this promises to be the most interesting and entertaining election campaign yet. This is Jeremy Kent, in London, for The Advertising Show.
Thanks, Jeremy. Here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Our special guest out of Chicago today is Rose Cameron, Chief Strategy Officer. Boy, that's a task. As Chief Strategy Officer at RSCG Chicago, Rose provides business strategy and planning expertise for the agency's entire portfolio of brands. She's also responsible for the strategy and planning function of RSCG Discovery, the agency's data and analytics unit. Spent about 20 years reinvigorating brands and uncovering insights that help clients build their businesses. Worked on some of the most prestigious brands, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, IBM, Microsoft, AT&T, and is known for her ability to deliver strategic expertise across all forms of media communications. Previously, Rose served as the chief planner at Leo Burnett. She was also the lead architect and spokesperson of the agency's Global Man Study, which involved marshaling insights from 15 countries on the state of modern masculinity. I was involved in that questionnaire. Not. Rose has honed her skills in the United Kingdom, Canada, the United States, and some of the top marketing communications agencies in the world, Ogilvy, Wunderman, Y&R, Mullen, and TBWA Chai Day. And so we get a chance to talk to Rose today. Pretty cool, huh? That's a nice bio. Just the right length. You know what I'm saying?
Right. As opposed to those two-pagers we sometimes get that are written by people's mothers.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have something quick
Well,
here?
You know, real quickly, I was just going to mention that Edelman has appointed the BBC's Director of Global News, Richard Sambrook, as Global Vice Chairman and Chief Content Officer. Sambrook will be based in the PR's Giants London office and will be working with clients to produce written video and audio content. Wise move, I think, for a PR firm to get someone from within the industry to become their Vice Chairman and Chief Content Officer. An insider knows the route.
Yeah. Very, very smart. Very smart. The Advertising Show, joining Rose here in just a minute, being powered by Shipple.com. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L, and a platform called Tendency, which is a killer marketing platform. Check it out at Shipple.com. Ed and his crew here in Houston do a great job of that. We've got the interview coming up next with Rose. Stay right here.
We didn't create Rebus, the best advertising agency software application, overnight. It took us about 20 years of refinement, with the help of over 400 of our customers worldwide. From CRM estimating and timesheet entry to a full accounting package, Rebus Software is a fully integrated and user-friendly platform that will make your staff more efficient and your agency more profitable. And because Rebus is an energetic, multilingual, and multicultural company, we can respond quickly to your specific needs, from the U.S. to the U.K., Spain, Italy, and Australia. Rebus, refined and proven effective by advertising agencies around the world. Want to find out how Rebus can work for your agency? Schedule a live online demo right now. Go to rebus-software.com, rebus-software.com. The live online demo is free. The results go directly to your agency's bottom line. Rebus-software.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
You love double mint gum. Double good, double mint gum. Double fresh flavor, double.
As promised on The Advertising Show, our special guest this weekend is Rose Cameron, Chief Strategy Officer, Euro RSCG Chicago. Rose, indeed a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
A pleasure to be with the both of you.
Well, and what a great firm you work for, Euro RSCG out of Chicago. We came to know you through your Ad Age CMO strategy article, which appeared recently in Advertising Age, entitled, Is Your Brand a Beacon or a Spotlight? First off, for our listeners, explain the difference. Let's begin with the easy one, that being a spotlight, which I think most brand managers are doing today. Describe that for us, please, Rose.
Well, what we're seeing an awful lot of are these meetings where essentially you have people wanting to know all about the consumer insights and spotlighting the consumer, but not actually addressing their own brand issues or standing up for the meaning of their brand. And so what I'm seeing a lot of, and I'm sure you lads are as well, is out there in the marketplace, a lot of what I call kind of mirror marketing, where you're just reflecting back the customer's lifestyle or the customer's issues versus actually being firm in your commitment to your brand and showing its relevance to them. So that's the difference between, say, a spotlight, where you're just spotlighting the consumer, versus a beacon, where you're being far more aspirational and addressing their needs and emotional desires.
You note in your article, Rose, consumers are consolidating their brand choices and ultimately selecting the ones that reflect not their realities, but, as you just said, their aspirations and values. Can you give us an example of what you're speaking of here, Rose?
Well, I think it's interesting because what you're actually seeing, for example, in retail right now is a decrease of upwards to 15% of their SKUs, actually taking them off the shelves, because they're realizing that we went through this whole period where we thought freedom of choice was what it was all about, right? That people could personalize something to their exact specifications. But with all that's going on right now in the recession, what we're actually seeing is a desire for freedom from choice, right? I want less muck. I want a greater clarity in the things that I'm dealing with and the brands that I'm dealing with. And I'm prioritizing my life so that I actually have a greater sense of control, because we've essentially felt out of control with a lot of these elements around us that we have little to no control over, right? So you see people cocooning, you see people prioritizing their brands, you see them actually cutting back on their activities and their investments. So that is what I meant by them, that. And what you see is, rather than, say, pushing in one category four or five or six brands that I may be keen on, I may just focus that back to one or two that I'm really spending my money on.
So even during more prosperous times, Rose, I'm assuming that you would come from the camp that was against more brand choices as opposed to more brand choices being a good thing.
I think that, you know, in any of these cases, you're looking for your brand to maintain its relevance. So you've got to keep keep the trust going in that brand, and you've got to keep investing in what I call the original customer contract with that brand, because every brand has a contract, like the brand you may originally have started out with on, say, Toyota, which you were talking about earlier. But where that evolves to is very much up to Toyota, but it's got to be true to what the original contract was with the customer, right? And any new brands that spin off from Toyota have to actually add to the equity of that parent firm and not start completely distracting from it.
Outstanding point and very timely. Let's talk for a moment about a global value study, Euro RSCG, conducted, I guess, in October of 2009. First off, if you would, Rose, describe the study and what you were hoping to accomplish with the study.
Well, we had originally conducted the study a year prior, and then we came back in October of 2009. And what really we wanted to understand was, how was this recession affecting shopping behaviors, purchase decision-making, differently from previous recessions, right? And what we discovered, and we actually launched it and fielded it across a variety of different geographies, United States, UK, France. And what we found was that people had definitely shifted, and that they were seeing long-term implications on their shopping behaviors, that it wasn't going to be just a short-term behavioral change, but that they were actually forecasting that they were significantly changing not only the entire slate of brands that they're looking at, but how they will purchase in the long term. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that in behaviors like, you probably know, Visa, 70% of their business this year alone was in their debit division, not in their credit division. So you're seeing people pretty much trying to live within their means. And what we found, which we found quite interesting, you'd expect in a recession for people to feel absolutely, you know, dire about shopping. And we actually found a renewed interest in shopping, and that people were becoming these incredibly active bargain hunters. And they were actually getting more jollies out of their shopping than they previously had during the times of plenty.
Sure. More meaningful purchases, it sounds like. And of course, we've heard that savings today in among American consumers is greater, all-time high in decades. And I guess what you're saying there is that consumers are making more thoughtful choices in their purchases, and it's not necessarily that they're not still making high-level purchases and spending some money. They're just doing it with a little bit more deliberation.
Absolutely, and they're feeling better about it as a result. They're getting more visceral feedback. And when you spend more time thinking about your purchases, you actually spend more time thinking about the brands that represent that are directly linked with those purchases.
Makes sense. Rose Cameron, our special guest. Rose is Chief Strategy Officer, Euro RSCG Chicago. We've got more in just a moment.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
I drink Dr. Pepper and I'm proud. I used to be alone in a crowd. But now you look around these days.
On The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, it's real smart to understand who you're talking to here with Rose Cameron, Chief Strategy Officer at Euro RSCG. And Rose, it's a pleasure to have you here. Welcome back.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, you mentioned last segment positioning your brand as a beacon rather than a spotlight. Take us through, if you would, Rose, the mind shift that must take place in order to begin to see one's brand as a beacon. And talk also a little bit about the role that digital and social media and marketing must take in order to be more of a beacon-like brand.
Absolutely. I think the first thing that you've got to internalize is that point that I brought up earlier, that every brand is essentially built around an emotional purpose or a reason for being, okay? And they have, as a result, contracts that they've built with customers over time. And if that's the case, you can't go willy-nilly into just reinventing a brand every time there's a new CMO. And I think that very often that can be the knee-jerk reaction to prove their point, to prove their purpose when new CMOs enter organizations. And it's something that is a very delicate thing, because you have to remember that before you walked in that door, there was a brand that had a relationship with thousands, sometimes tens, hundreds of thousands of individuals. So you interacting with it actually affects all of those individuals. So the first shift that I ask people to make is to truly understand the origins, the mythos of their brand. Where was it born from? Because that is usually its emotional purpose, its archetype. And then what we need to discover is, what is its relevance today? So the customer insight really is about the relevance of the brand at that point in time in its lifespan. For example, when I worked on McDonald's, you know, it started off as the dreamer in search of his dreams, with Ray Kroc being very representative of the brand. You know, 50 years on, you can't say it's the dreamer in search of his dream when it sold over a billion hamburgers. Right. You know, it found the dream already. So kind of, where is it now in its trajectory? It's still this thing about rejuvenation and refreshment, an innocent brand. But what is meaningful to people right now, and what we defined with that, is a playful optimism, that people were hungry for a playful optimism, still relevant to that original archetype of rejuvenation and refreshment, that emotional need people need fulfilled, but putting it in a skin that's relevant for its time and its age and the longevity it's been here in the United States of America.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead, Rose. No, I was just going to mention that you mentioned in your article American mythologist Joseph Campbell. I'm a huge fan of his and read a lot of his work. And I hear some of his terms being used not only in your article, but as you speak today. Something to be said about mythology and the brand, right, Rose?
Well, let's face it. We tell stories because for a reason. We tell stories because they teach us how to survive. They teach us how to continue. They teach us how to foster relationships with others. They are, you know, those stepping stones through life. And if you look at what we do in marketing and communications, we are very often building the storyline and the narrative for the brands that we are the caretakers of. So really my objective is to, at every new chapter of my brand's stories that I'm the steward of, I'm not trying to reinvent the book and jump from some mystery to a love affair to a tragedy to, you know, an action drama. That would break down all consumer confidence in that brand, right? They just want to see that narrative keeping them along. And to your point about social media and digital, I think that is not only, you know, looking for the relevance in how you position that brand and stay true to its core archetype, but also how you communicate it and how you engage people in the story is critical to the times. And what we're finding now is we're opening up the authorship of our brands to the consumers themselves. And because they have their own publishing environment, they have the web, they have their mobile devices, and from that they can interact directly into the narrative and add their spin to the story. And that is one of the more exciting and dynamic elements that are happening to brands right now.
Our guest today on the Advertising Show is Rose Cameron, Chief Strategy Officer, Euro RSCG Chicago. We've got another segment to spend with Rose. We hope you'll have a chance to stick around as well.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Here are some most happy fellas, the four lads for four.
Standing on the corner. What a great opportunity to meet a very lovely person. Rose Cameron is the Chief Strategy Officer, Euro RSCG Chicago. And it's Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. Rose, a pleasure to have you here.
A pleasure to be with the two of you.
Yeah, I think our listeners would enjoy the off-air commentary we're having rather than what we're talking about on air. But, you know, maybe at another time we can all get together
and have a few
and talk about that. You know, you've mentioned last segment and the first segment as well, being true to the original customer contract as well as understanding the brand ethos, understanding where the brand was born, what its relevance is to customers. You know, how is it that a brand manager that should understand these concepts can, is it ego, I guess, that allows them or requires them to not see where the brand has been and honor that and want to tend to put their own mark on some new direction for a brand? What's going on with that, Rose?
It very much depends. I think sometimes the brand of the individual gets in the way of the brand of the enterprise. And that can be very challenging. And I think that they also feel that there's an expectation. I mean, there was a while there during the dot-com era where it was all about reinvention. So anytime you came on board, it was kind of your remit was change. If they didn't see you creating change, then you weren't doing your job. And as a result, I think that, you know, people got the wrong impression of what really how people interact with brands and how, because you don't want in some of these relationships that are really deep and really wonderful, you don't want to wake up next to that brand the next day and go, oh my gosh, what happened to you?
Mm-hmm.
And I think on a couple of occasions we've had that experience and it's been jarring, and what you actually do is you break that contract and you create a dissonance, and it increases the level of kind of branded distrust that exists out there. And I cannot tell you the amount of sessions that I've done with young influencers who are kind of cutting edge in their own way, and you're sitting with them and you're going, well, do you want the brand to be this and this and this? And you think that, you know, they're going to love all these cool, funky things you're coming up with. And they're like, I just want to eat it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, we all as consumers, even though we're in this business, we can reflect back on 20 years and 30 years for that matter and see brands that have taken a detour only to return to their core brand essence or competencies relative to the consumer. And those are really good examples of how brand managers realized exactly what you're talking about today, Rose. We have only a few minutes left. I want to mention that your article has 12 descriptors that reflect aspirational brand stories that you can check out by Googling, I guess, Rose Cameron. Do you have the article on your site, Rose, or is it just at adage.com?
I believe it's adage.com.
Yeah.
That supports the old adage.
Yeah. So there, or, you know, Google Rose, and you'll see probably access to that as well. Just as we wrap up, you know, Ray and I have wonderfully enjoyed today's interview, but I want to get one final comment from you. You started your advertising career in London at Ogilvy. And then you came to the U.S. and you worked at TBWA Chiat Day, or maybe that was in Canada. We'll get clarification for that in a moment. But how was the agency business different in Great Britain versus North America?
Oh.
Back when you made the change.
That is a huge question. I would say the biggest difference is in the U.K. we have a real respect for the consumer's intellect. And the advertising shows that. We expect them to be able to take on relatively complex concepts. We expect them to take the mickey and be able to, you know, work their way through things that here would be considered by many clients too contentious or unsafe. And I think that there's just a sense in the UK of an overall greater respect for the intellect of their audience and their ability to realize this is kids, this is communications. It's not the Bible. It can be fun, and they get it. That would be the biggest difference, I think.
Rose, we are unfortunately out of time, but I have to tell you, it's been a pleasure to have you on the advertising show. EuroRSCG.com, I think, is the website here. If you want to find out more about, obviously, what this incredible agency as well. But Rose, thanks again for being a part of the advertising show.
Great, Brad. An absolute delight. Thank you so much.
We have more to come your way here in just a moment. Don't go away.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas. This is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world, waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details, while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a new corporate identity ASAP and on a tight budget, they got the impossible. 170 creative solutions to the client in just 24 hours, from brief to deadline. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put it to the test. Just go to OpenAd.net and give us a try. Hey, what have you got to lose? The future starts here.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
How nice it is to get a chance to meet Rose Cameron, the Chief Strategy Officer, Euro RSCG Chicago. And a great interview, and thank you, Rose, for your time as well. Next week, no stranger to the show, and always great for conversation, it's George Lois. He does have a new book out, and we're fortunate to have a copy. I think it's pretty cool. Author of the Esquire covers. So we got George next week, and as I said, that's always a great interview to enjoy as well here at the Advertising Show. It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Did you have something there?
Yeah, you know, Google tried and failed to buy Twitter last year, and it appears that they're testing the microblogging site's trending topics feature in its news service. Users are noticing trending topics in the left sidebar of Google News. Google confirms that it is testing a new news page design. So, Google, if you can't buy them,
build them.
They use them. use them and leverage them for your own benefit, yeah. Which is what Google's been doing since day one, leveraging content for their benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we kind of been along for the ride, too, as well, with a couple of relationships with them.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. I like that kind of stuff as well.
And by the way, iTunes, if you're not subscribing to the advertising show via iTunes, it's mm-hmm. a great place to go. Click on to subscribe, and it'll download automatically to your iPod or device or iTunes, iPod or iPhone, I should say. Yeah.
And speaking of cool things, I think it's T-Mobile, but there's a brand new phone out. Well, now not so brand new, but it's the Eric Clapton version. Mm-hmm. It's a Fender guitar look on the back. Have you seen it?
Collector's item, I understand. Have not seen it. Saw pictures of it.
I don't have T-Mobile, but I still want one, okay? I think it'd be a nice thing to have, so that's kind of cool. We love dogs here at the Advertising Show, and why not? In Dog Whisperer with Cesar Millan, now at its sixth season on the National Geographic Channel, several episodes have featured vacuum cleaners that send dogs into a barking frenzy with tactics like placing their food bowls next to vacuums that are not in use. Basically, Mr. Millan helped reverse the behavior. So that's what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Swiffer, the P&G brand, is hiring him to help with a different sort of behavior modification, getting consumers to forego traditional floor cleaning devices and buy Swiffer products, which they've been trying to do for quite a long time.
You know, Ray, when we were watching the Olympics a few weeks ago, I started thinking, why wouldn't, during the curling event, Swiffer sponsor that? Because they've gone from the brooms they used to use to now what looks like a Swiffer.
I see no reason why they shouldn't do that, actually. Curling is such an exceptional sport, too, as well.
I'm surprised bowling has not been included. You know, they got curling.
Isn't that kind of like bowling on ice, curling the same
kind
thing?
Kind of, yeah. Shuffleboard on ice.
Who was it? The guys from Switzerland or someplace had these really weird outfits on. It was like, we're going to make a statement. We may not win, but we're going to make a statement.
They have tights on or
something? No, thank God. They had checkered pants. It looked like
golfing attire.
Something similar to that. Gene Bliss is with us here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Zane Cycles is a topic that she likes to talk about a lot, and today she's talking about under a buck is free. Let's listen.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Picture a dad on a Saturday morning, toting a bike with a broken chain and a disappointed kid. Two stops later, exasperated and increasingly frustrated, both father and son find their way to Zane Cycles in Connecticut. Within minutes, they find out what will fix the chain, a 25-cent master link. The salesman at Zane's hands it over with a firm no charge. Zane's has decided to give those parts away. Anything that costs a buck or under, they give to any customer who needs it. Though small in price, these parts are usually attached to a frustrating experience for the customer. Zane's does this because they want to become the lifeline for their customer throughout his or her bike ownership. And that sometimes means throwing in a bike part, especially at frustrating moments. Zane's wants to build strong relationships through creating indelible memories, like the one that made the day of that father and son. Chris Zane is astute enough to know that in these moments, an emotional bond to his store is created, and this translates in the future into continuing sales. Have you planned for heroic acts of kindness that connect your company with customers?
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
No doubt about it, Zane Cycles really does have the right stuff there. It would be a good one to model your company after. Hint, hint, hint. It's Ray and Brad here at the Advertising Show. Thanks again to Rose this week. George Lois is up next week. He was asked to be a creative partner or some type of a partner for Mad Men, but he said, you guys got it all wrong. Hey, heck with you guys. Yeah. I'm not doing anything
like that. He was supposed to consult that, of course, consult the writers. And if you watch that program, I'm a fan. I know you are too, right?
Yeah.
You know, George would be the first to tell you, although it's entertaining, none of it's true, you know, other than maybe the smoking on the elevator and
the booze,
a little bit of drinking here and there that's out of the ordinary. You know, they're expecting, Ray, a very low-key promotion for the return of Jay Leno as host of The Tonight Show that approaches a marked contrast to the hype that greeted his move to primetime. And, of course, Conan's move into the Tonight Show slot. So now they've decided to take a little more low-key approach. Probably smart. Also heard heard recently, that there's some
Kevin,
question. Yeah.
Kevin Eubanks is not coming back.
Right.
He will not be a part of that, which, You know, Kevin, that whole band thing, I wouldn't say that Letterman is kind of a big band thing, but, you know, The Tonight Show had the thing with Doc Severinsen.
Right.
And when you bring Kevin on, it was all electric, a lot of electric,
mm-hmm.
Which I could be interesting, I guess. But conversely, Conan's Tonight Show had a great band. Max is his name. I can't think of the guy's last name.
Weinberg.
Weinberg?
I think so.
Weintraub or Weinberg.
Yeah. Who's also a drummer for a very famous band.
Bruce Springsteen.
All right.
Exactly. So this will be an interesting thing. They are using the old primetime set for Leno.
Really?
They are trying to figure out what to do with the Conan set, and they say...
Auction it on...
eBay. Well, that'd be kind of cool. Yeah. No, they're saying they're going to turn it into a soundstage for a new series or something.
Speaking of groups, I record the Jimmy Fallon, because I'm not up that late. He has The Roots on, which is a totally different approach to music for a TV talk show.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Jimmy Fallon. I think he does a great job with it. The Roots is certainly a diversion of what you would normally expect to see as far as musical accompaniment to a TV talk show.
Yeah, a very fresh face at late night television.
Yeah.
Hey, we do wish Jay the very best as the show comes back, and it's... it was a good fit before, and it's going to be a good fit now, hopefully, so that's great. The Advertising Show with Ray and Brad is sponsored by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. See you next week with George Lois. Yeah, don't miss it. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.